All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your graciousness and your kindness. We thank you that we could come before you and worship you. And Father, we're just grateful that your truth is so clear. If we would just take heed to listen to it and be a part of it. Father, we make all these requests before you, not because we're just in need, but that we want to trust you for everything we do. And with that, we would ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I want to start just a little bit. Yes, you missed a lot. Bronx is back there going, you know, what? Yes. Red's John the Baptist. Blue's Jesus. See it right noted right there? Red John, blue Jesus. No, we started over here. The conception of Jesus was right there. Toward the end, somewhere, probably in the third or fourth week. So it'll be a full month coming up. You know, I would say it's probably the end of Kislev, whatever that is. That would be, that's a good point. This is November, December. So it would probably have been like December 15th, I think. Or when's Hanukkah? Isn't that the 15th or something? It's a week or so two before. No, it's not Thanksgiving. Huh? It's like the 8th of December or something. 8th to the 15th. Look it up on your calendar. That is this date right here. Okay? Y'all with me? And for Jerry, it's John 10:22, I think, was the last scripture we did. He texted in during the break. But this is 2 weeks or so before our Christmas. Y'all understand? That's Hanukkah. So you can look up on the calendar and find out when the Hanukkah is. And from that point on, you've got it. Okay? But I think it's just fascinating that it ends up with a point three, with the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacle. And there's one other thing I want to say why I believe it's around the 14th of that, because this is the eighth-day feast. Guess what happened at the end of the eighth day? Jesus Christ was circumcised. I mean, that works in that as well. Very fascinating stuff. Fascinating. So I want to start again with a couple verses. Go to John again. I want to hammer this point down because I think it is the point. I was thinking Hanukkah is the 12th. Thanks. All right, Jerry just looked it up. Hanukkah is the 12th of December. So I knew it's like a week or two. So did the conception of Jesus happen on December 25th? No. Would Jesus have done that on a pagan festival?
No.
Or winter solstice?
No.
After reading Jeremiah 10 about the signs of heaven, he wouldn't have done it. Y'all just understand, he wouldn't have done it. And to merge the two, and I probably won't get into all the particulars of Christmas. We've got an article in the back that covers them pretty good, but I'm going to cover a few of them. And it's not to offend anyone. It is not to offend anyone. I'm not doing this to offend you. I'm doing this so that you'll have the truth. What you do with the truth is your own business. You understand? But I know when Jesus was born, within a week or so. It's sometime in late September, 1st of October. At the Feast of what? Hey, Jerry, do you have it where you can look at the Feast of Tabernacles as well? If you can give me that information, I would appreciate it. And we'll get the dates of that up there, basically. But go to John 4. And I want to reiterate this because the truth is very offensive. Yes. Yes, exactly. Very good. Yeah. Yeah, Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacle, all the same. They have different names. In fact, even for the months of the year, the months of the year, some of those have four or five different names. A spelling's a little different. I went with the most common. But listen, I am no theologian. I'm a Bible teacher. That's when John was born. Around Nisan, somewhere around the 10th through the 14th of Nisan is when he was born. That's John. Jesus was born sometime late September, early October. Maybe Jerry will be able to find that out for us. But the problem is you can't make the truth into a lie, and you can't make a lie into truth. So you got to say, okay, what is it that I really want? You know, what is it that I'm looking for? What is it that I'm trying to transpire? What do you think the churches are so involved in this? You know, why are they so involved with Santa Claus? How many churches do you think had Santa Claus? Most of them, right? Would you go get me a dictionary out of the other room in there? I think we have an 1828 and a Webster's. And we'll do that toward the end. But in John 4, the Bible said in John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You got it? You cannot go to God and worship him in a lie and expect God to go, hey, you know, that's okay. I'm glad you're doing the best you can. See, you know, the whole thing is we are told, go to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, we're told to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. What are we told to do? Study the word of God. Study the word of truth. And you know, if we studied this out and someone came and said, well, Jesus was born September 29th is the Feast of Tabernacles. And that would be perfect to what we got. I'm just telling you guys, these dates are not coincidental. The dates are not put in there by happenstance. They're put in there by the design of God. You got it? Thank you, Jerry. You got it? I mean, it's not happenstance. It's not coincidence. It's by design that they are in there. And if you understand that, you know, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. You know what? Somebody would say, well, Jesus was born December 25th. You know what a Bible student should say? What are you? Where have you been? But, you know, just the opposite is true. They don't know when the date is. How many do you know of all your friends could show you when the birth of Jesus was? Isn't that weird? We go to church. If we rated our educational system the same way we rate our churches would be failing at educating the people. It'd be an embarrassment. You know, yes, ma'am. No, but it's in the same month. The Feast of Trumpets is the seventh month, the first day. The Feast of Atonement is the 10th day of the month, and then the Feast of Tabernacles is the 14th day of the month. I would imagine he, by the way, is the temple. They are very all symbolic. In fact, I did the feast days not too long ago. Do you all remember that when I laid out all the feast days? We'll do that again maybe coming up, and this will make even more sense. I don't want to teach Jewish traditions, but, you know, I mean, you know, some of this stuff is understood only on a Jewish perspective. They weren't trying to communicate to Gentiles. It wasn't about a Gentile dilly-willy. It was about a Jewish prophecy and a Jewish promise, and therefore you have to look at it as a very Jewish thing. Now, the fact that he died, that comes a Gentile thing later down the way completely. But this story is not a Gentile story. It has to do with priests, it has to do with courses, it has to do with time. And you got to understand that. And you say, well, you're trying to ruin my Christmas. No, I am not. I'm trying to show you the truth. Huh? Thank you. So 2 Timothy, he says, study. We're supposed to study. Well, hang on just a minute. Go back to Matthew. Well, go to Matthew. Don't go back. We haven't been there. Verse 3. Why?
You didn't say.
You guys, you know, I go and tell you all this truth and I mess up one point and you are like, yeah. Jump on me like, whoo! Matthew 2, verse 3. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. Where is it written, by the way, in the prophets?
Isaiah
7, verse 14. You might want to put that in your Bible. Thank you, David. Exactly. The point is they were students. They knew where he was coming from.
Right.
Well, if they knew, then that, guess what? You can know.
Right.
Y'all understand?
Mm-hmm.
If they knew, you can know. And that's my point. You have to study it out. Well, if you studied it out, you know what you'd say to all your friends? Well, Jesus was born on December 25th. You know what you'd say? No way. Why would God... I'm getting all kinds of texts now. They're like wanting to get in on the action here. Y'all with me so far? I mean, there's just no way that God would let his precious son be born on a heathen, pagan day. I mean, there is no more pagan of a day than December 25th, just about. It can't get any more pagan. And it has to do with the dismays of signs and stuff. And that, remember, who is the true tabernacle? Christ is. I mean, all this stuff fits together, starts to fit like a glue. And you know what? I'm wondering, where are the Bible believers that were out there willing to teach the Word of God and take the persecution for it? We're like just want to wimp down and cower down and just get, you know, why don't you stand up and show people the truth? Why do you let them get away with it? You know why? Because you don't want to lose their friendship. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, when you have the power to show this stuff, I don't feel bad. I feel rejoicing that God has opened my eyes to the truth of the Scriptures and that I can see the truth. Y'all understand? I feel blessed that God has allowed me to see the truth. But you know what you have to do? You have to stand for it. Go to Galatians chapter 6 before we get too involved here. So Herod and them could figure out the time. They got the wise guys. They put it all together. They figured it all out. You can too. Now, this isn't about what year. You all understand? That's not what this sermon's about today. It's about when was he born and why. You understand? It has nothing to do with the year. We can do that another time. But, you know, where did I tell you to go?
Galatians.
That's a good place. I like Galatians. Chapter 6. Give me just a second. This is not what I wanted. Go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, I guess. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, it's the truth, not the flesh. You cannot, listen, there is no way that you can take Christmas and worship in the flesh and say, God doesn't accept that worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So, I mean, if you can know, guess what you ought to do? You ought to know. And be not entangled. It's in Galatians chapter 5, I think. Well, I want to start in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You know, I'm not entangled with all that garbage. It's funny, my kids wanted to celebrate Christmas after they left home. We never celebrated it. We bought them gifts. They had all the gifts that they could. They had the Nintendo 64 back then. Was, you know, this was 25 years ago, which was the hottest thing going. You know, we bought all those things for them, and bikes and tennis rackets. And but there was something in them. They felt like they were missing out. You know, well, you're not missing out anything if you're on track with the Lord. You're okay if that's the case. And so the thing is, you got to start wondering, what is it that they want out of all of it all? You know what's amazing to me? Is the amount of money that people spent on this holiday. And you know what? Every year, our month of December is the worst month of the year. And it's Jesus' birthday. You know what I call that? Hypocrites. That's weird. Well, I'm saving up money for... Well, it's Jesus' birthday if you're going to play that silly game, right? It's weird, isn't it? It's kind of strange. And I'm not trying to hammer anybody here. I'm just saying, boy, Satan's deceptions has worked great, hasn't he? It's amazing. All right, let's keep going before I get to meddling. I just read that in Galatians 5. You just... stand fast. You know, the truth is going to make you free. Just relax in it. All right. So go back. I want to start in Luke chapter 1. Now, you all know that Zacharias is in there doing his priestly duties, right? And Gabriel comes on to him, right? Okay. We're kind of cutting into the context, but that happens in verse 12. Well, you want me to read that? I'll read down. Verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, which was obviously his duty. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, what's interesting about this is that's not a family name at all to them. You know? So he's going to have to call him out of the blue, something that God, and there's a reason for that. Verse 15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he, that is John, shall go before him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, in the spirit and power of Elias, and to turn the hearts of the father and to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See, that was according to prophecy. Look, if you will, in Malachi chapter 3. If you don't know where Malachi is, just go to Matthew and back up one book, maybe a page or two. That's it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And by the way, this is why Mark and all the other versions of the Bible have a problem. Another lie doesn't make it any better. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare thy way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even in the messenger, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, on and on. Got it? Go to Malachi chapter 4 now. Look in verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Look, if you will, in Mark chapter 1. Are y'all getting this? Mark chapter 1. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 1. Every version of the Bible changes this. Fascinating, isn't it? Mark chapter 1. I keep passing it. The King James Bible says verse 1. Mark 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Did you get that? You know what all the other versions of the Bible say? No, as it is written in Isaiah. Well, this next verse, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, is a reference to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, is Isaiah 40, verse 3. Now, the reason that's important is because the King James is the only one that has the dignity to tell you where it is. To think that God doesn't know where Malachi chapter 3, when it's such an important verse to the coming and the setting up the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the birth. No way. That's why the King James says what? Prophet. You with me? Leaves it out. Well, he's going to come. Go back to Luke. Chapter 1. So the Gabriel is telling them this stuff. He doesn't believe them. Verse 18, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered, said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Now you got to understand, he goes into his wife. His wife says, how are you? Did you have a good day at the work? What's wrong with you? Does the cat got your tongue? Can it say a word? Not until the day that he was born. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 1, verse 63. He gets a writing tablet because he can't talk. Well, verse 60. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John, because she got a visit too. And they made a sign to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote saying, his name is John. And they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelled in the room about them. And all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hills of Judea. Man, it was a big deal. And he's rejoicing now. There was silence there. He finally sees Jesus a few months, 6 months later, and he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Why? He knew his son was going to be the forefront in the spirit and the power of who? Elijah. Isn't that amazing? Are you enjoying this? She is, I think. Brock, so are you having a good time, or you have a question?
No.
You are so, I'm glad you're here. You all understand what that, I mean, come on. His son is going to be the one proclaiming the way of the Lord. Wow. Amen. Go to Matthew 17. I believe it is. They're coming. Where they had the three tabernacles, Moses and Elijah and Jesus at the transfiguration. But come on down, he's coming out. Verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now you got to remember, they didn't quite put all these pieces of the puzzle. You can look in Luke 24 there, and you'll find that they hadn't got a clue until the very end of Luke 24,
right.
Verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elias truly shall come first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not." See, John the Baptist is a very important calling card to the person who Jesus Christ is. The fact that there are 6 months, the fact that they're cousins, the fact that Mary spent the time with that. Why don't we just tell the story? I don't understand why we just let fables enter our lives and fake it as if we're Christians. I mean, if you're Christians, know the truth. Study it out. Seek it out. Consider the truth. No lie has ever made any man free. Never. So why is it that we constantly hammer ourselves over this to artificially make what is not there, there? I just don't get that, do you? I don't get it. It bothers me. I don't care that you buy gifts. I don't care that you have your family around. I'll do that as often as I can get together to do that. Amen? But to somehow interject that we're like doing this for Jesus. That's baloney. Say, "Well, I feel it in my heart." Well, it's just a lie. Was the day of conception December 25th?
No.
You can't even claim that. My dad got on this thing about December 25th being the day. It ain't even the day. And it's just like we want to bend it. Well, we're getting a little more spiritual. Just figure it out. You realize it lands his birthday somewhere around the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's why there was no room at the inn, and they had to stay 5 miles away from Jerusalem where everybody had to be. That's why they were in the manger, guys. And they were there how long? Approximately. Here's a hint. 8 days. Let me try that again. How long were they in the manger? 8 days. That's fascinating. Isn't that fascinating? I find that fascinating. You find it fascinating? I find that fascinating. Because I want you to go back to Matthew. Now, you all know that John the Baptist was Elias, and they didn't believe him. They knew him not. Well, sure. I mean, we've got the story where he's baptizing, Matthew chapter 3, and people are repenting and coming out to him and listening to his message. Absolutely. But for the majority, I would say Jerusalem, in sense, was wrapped up in religious, a lot like we are today, you know, really. And you know, it's kind of sad, but.
In his heart.
Huh?
I said, but just the whole point of why God set him apart.
No, that's true. That is true. Now, I want to go to Matthew chapter 1. I said 2, but I want to get the last part of verse 1. Verse 21. "And shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." You need Zechariah 13, verse 1 in your Bible right there. Zechariah 13. It wasn't that he was going to die for the sins of the world. It was that he was going to die for the sins of Israel and those that feared God. Very important. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child." That's Isaiah 7, verse 14. You need to write that in your Bible. "And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now, come on down to chapter 2. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. His star is an angel. It is not some flashy light in the sky. It's an angel. Go to Revelation. I believe it's chapter 9. I hope I get this right. I didn't reference this. I probably should have. Sometimes I trust my brain and it's not very good. Revelation 9. The star is an angel. They have it as a star of Bethlehem, and there isn't a single kid that's heard this story would ever know that that was an angel. Now that's kind of weird. Why can't we tell our children the truth? Why is it that we can't be honest with them about the whole story? Doesn't that bother y'all? Yes. It bothers me that we can't be honest. Mm-hmm. Just tell them the truth. So I don't want to destroy them. What are they going to find out when mom and dad lied to them all this time? Revelation 9, are y'all there? Revelation 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. And to him, the star, was given the keys of the bottomless pit. That's an angel, guys. That's what it is. It's an angel. Go back to Matthew chapter 2. This whole thing is it's a joke. And you know what? Bible students aren't studying and they're not putting it in and they're not telling their kids the truth and their kids don't know. And we wonder why we're so dumb. Amen? I just don't get it. I mean, read it out of the Bible. Worst thing you can do is mispronounce a few words like me across the way. You'll get closer to the story if you just read it. Amen? Amen? Just read it. Instead, you know what we read? "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were all hung by the chimney with care, in hope that Saint Nick would soon be there." Isn't that amazing? I remember that, but my dad and mom never taught me any Bible verses of where to find the Word of God and the truth thereof. When all of a sudden I heard such a clatter, I ran to the window and threw up to see what the matter. You know, I forgot, you know, I have to do it in, you know, perfect time or I mess the thing up. You know, come on. Yeah. I don't know. The star is an angel. Go back to Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And Herod the king heard these things and was troubled in all Jerusalem. Now they heard that. Now, verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child." He's 2 years old. It's not the baby little Jesus. He's a 2-year-old son running around. "And bring me word again, and I may come and worship him." You know, that's like, you can just hear Satan going, "I'll come and worship him." Can't you? Verse 10. "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced." Now listen. That star is moving around. You know why? It ain't a star in the heavens, boys and girls. It's an angel like Revelation 9. Y'all, anybody learning anything today? How many be willing to put an extra $10 in the plate because they learned something? All right. Verse 11. "And when they were come into the house..." not the manger. Now, how come we can't tell that story? Is it so hard to tell the truth? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they'll not endure a sound doctrine, but heap to themselves having teachers, having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth and onto fables. Amen? Just stories, not true, they're lies. And it's easier to tell the lie than it is to tell the truth, isn't it? So we just keep repeating the lie over and over, and the more we repeat it, the more we feel better because more people are on the lie side than on the other side. And then you're not the oddball because you're in the lie, because you're part of the lie, and you promulgate the lie, and then somehow we think that's Christian. But now, one of the commandments of God says, thou shalt not bear false witness. How do you reconcile all that in our minds? How do we know? Because when Herod goes to kill everybody, he kills everybody 2 years and under because they got a 2-year window that they figured it out to be in. Which verse? 16, yes. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, exceedingly wroth, sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereabouts, from 2 years older and under. So we know it fits somewhere in that range. Now, he may not have been two. He might have been 1.5. What do I know? He wasn't in a manger when the wise men came. You understand? He's out running around. They're walking. And hey, this kid's running with diapers on. I know it's silly. I mean, I'd like to go to one of these things that the churches are so spiritual. Oh, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus. I'd like to see a little 1.5 or 2-year-old running around in his diapers. How come I don't see that? I would just as easily to be to tell that truth. Amen? So why hide it? Because Satan is the great deceiver. He is. 2 Corinthians 4. That's a good verse. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 4:4. See, guys, Satan has been at this thing a while. And he knows what the dealy-wheelie is. And he knows that you aren't strong enough to make a stand. He knows that most of us are weak. Instead of standing for the truth and saying, hey, that's not right. How many of you went to your friends and said, well, that's not the way the story went? Huh? Yeah, no. That doesn't even sound like the story. Here, let me try telling the story. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They'll believe the story instead of the truth. See, Satan is so incredible, and we wonder what happens to our kids because they don't get it. Now, on my last few minutes, I want to pick on Santa Claus. Do you mind? Kids, if this is an eye-opener for you, I'm sorry, but I'd rather tell you the truth here than have it found out later. Here it is. Brenda, what do we call Santa Claus? Old Nick, right? Old Saint Nick. Would you look up in the dictionary? That's a Vines Bible dictionary. It won't be in that.
We don't have another one.
We have an 1828?
No, it's at the house, but we don't have
it. No, we have a big one back there.
There's an 1828 back there. All right, hang on. We're gonna get Tony, and I'm gonna lay this thing out.
It's on the other side.
Well, I know it was back there. I told her it was back there, but she didn't see it. Look up Old Nick. That just grab that one. It's limited time here, Tony. Look up Old Nick. It's just Old Nick. It will do it. Old Saint Nick. That's his nickname. Old Saint Nick. We made him into a saint, but it's Old Nick. You know, what do you think we're going to hear? That he's godly or righteous? You know what you're going to hear? What does it Old Nick say? What's the definition for Old Nick?
There is no Old Nick. I'm not there yet, Dad.
Stand in front of the mic.
That won't do it. Bring it here.
Look up Saint Nick.
It's under Old Nick. It may be under Nick.
It's in the regular dictionary.
It's here. It's in this one, too.
Is that two?
Yeah.
I know it's in a regular
one. All right, here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Old wife. That's funny. Got old wife in here. I'm going to look under Nick.
It's under a regular dictionary.
Which is not in that dictionary.
I bet it is.
Because it's...
Yeah, here it is. Old Nick. Ready for this?
Yeah.
A goblin, the devil.
Whoa.
Huh. I guess we want to believe in that. You got it? Look it up in your dictionary. Old Nick, the devil.
Yeah, it's in a Webster dictionary.
I'm just telling you.
Webster.
Now, think about it. He has a scarlet robe on. Scarlet is royalty. He is the God of this world. He's omnipresent. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you've been good and bad. So be good for goodness sake. Well, there's none good. The doctrine of Christmas is set on the doctrine of self-righteousness. Y'all understand? The whole thing is laid out so kids think they have to be good in order to get the rewards. But you know what? You don't have to be good to get the rewards. God will give it to anybody who will call upon the name of the Lord. You see, the whole thing comes down to a... Exactly. The Scrooge is probably the only guy got it right. What do? Demonize him and everybody else gets the celebration. Y'all understand? The realization is that you've got to start to realize what it is that you're really wanting in life. Do you want the fables and the lies? I would recommend, I could turn you on to a few places that do those kind of things. But if you want the truth, it will cost you. It costs you friendships, association and families. And then you can just fake it all out and, you know, do whatever. Or you can say, you know, this, why don't you sit down and just tell everybody the truth? You know what? Granddads and grandmas and aunts and uncles all gathered around and not one of them had the clue. You had the clue. You had the thought. Let me ask a question. Did you share it? Or did you just let them stay in their deception as if it was a warm blanket, cuddled and warmed through the old winter night? See, what's the point of having the truth if you're not going to share it? What are you afraid of? Well, I don't know this stuff very well. Then you know what I would do? I would learn it very well. I would learn it with everything in me. And I'd try to figure out how to explain it to people. Because you don't have to fake out anything to anyone. You know why this thing's all messed up? Is because they really want to get your picture off of the gospel. You know what the gospel is? Is that Jesus Christ went to that cross, was born of a virgin, came down through the angel realm into the human realm, and was born of a virgin, not to live and not to celebrate his birth, but to die for your sins. And you know how many sins he died for? All of them. And it doesn't matter if you're good or bad, because you know what? I know what you are. You're bad. There ain't none good, no, not one. So, and you don't have to straighten out your life. I used to believe that the gospel was I had to straighten out my life before God would save me. I quit smoking, drinking, playing cards a year before I met Brenda, and then finally I ended up getting saved. See, none of those things happen that you think, well, I'm giving up this, this, and this, and I'm going to be saved. No way. You know what? If you want eternal life, all you have to do is relax in what Christ said. If he said it in that book, you can count on. You know what he said? Christ died for your sins. You see? That isn't hard, is it? People say, well, I don't get this King James Bible. It's hard to read. There is none good. No, not one. That's Southern for anybody who is having problems understanding the hard English. Christ died for your sins. And you know what I celebrate? Go to Galatians chapter 6. This is what Paul says. In Galatians chapter 6. He said, as many as desire to make a fair show, verse 12, in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. And this is what Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory, saved in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, or uncircumcision, but a new creature. But as many as walk according to this world, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I'll bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, on and on. You know what, guys? Listen, they may beat me for this truth, but you know what? I'm going to keep preaching until they kill me or I die. You know what? You need to know. Now, how many here know the truth now about when Jesus is born? Is it clear to you? You don't have to fake it anymore. You know. What you do with it is your own business. But I wouldn't be trying to make Christmas a Jesus day. If you want to eat a big turkey or a ham, can you imagine? Let's have a Christmas ham. Miss Goldberg said to Mr. Goldberg, Jews don't eat ham. You all understand? Come on, Mr. and Mrs. Goldberg, let's have a piece of Christmas ham. How many here had ham for Christmas? Meat offered onto idols. You're telling me that God somehow is involved in that? That's weird, isn't it? So, I'm done.